Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Rigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Podcast 97. We're coming at you live from the Taj, happily sitting atop Beaumont Creperia, the number one creperia in Philadelphia area. I'm Jeff Lyons, your co-host. I'm in the middle of my vacation, came all the way back from the Jersey Shore. My vacation is little compared to the guy next to me, Todd Marone. Teacher Todd Marone, are you done for the year? Are you officially on summer vacation?
I have some time away from work.
Very nice.
I do, indeed, yep.
How many months? A couple months?
It's like 70-something days, but don't get fixated on that, especially if you're a taxpayer.
Let's rank the feeling of a teacher first day of summer vacation and all the feelings you have bottled up in you. If you ranked every feeling from like eating to procreating to... not seeing your students anymore, how does it rank?
You've all felt it. It's the same way that you felt when you were in school and summer vacation would start. It's like it's like an Uber Friday, you know?
Right.
It's like a Friday of Fridays.
Super Friday. And while we're vacationing, Russ, you are just lazing about, right?
That's
doing
right.
Nothing pretty much, just hanging out, waiting for your second baby to arrive
any
moment.
That's correct.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Jeffy.
You excited?
Yeah.
Yeah? And you're gonna take a little vacation, right?
Two weeks.
Rusty Static Jr. comes out?
That's right.
Excellent. Now, Todd, is it true you will be roadieing for Kenny McChesney for the next three months?
I will, yep. But I'm not going to set a damn thing up for Tim McGraw.
Oh, they're touring together.
I believe so. You know that Tim McGraw is actually, I think, Gary Maddox's son?
Yeah, that's right. You know your Phillies history. No one correct him, okay?
Something like that.
Gary Maddox.
Yeah, a little Philadelphia trivia for you guys.
And Greg Luzinski, years ago, adopted a child. And they named him McGraw.
His first
name's Allie.
Yep.
Allie
quick,
McGraw.
Quick draw.
Quick draw Allie McGraw. And she is touring with Kenny McChesney.
Yeah.
Now, they just had a huge concert, and I've never heard a song by either one of them. And this is... so I can't say whether I like them or not, but I'm amazed at their popularity.
You assume you do not.
I probably don't.
It's safe
because
to assume.
I read the name of one of Allie McGraw's songs was something Truck Fun or something.
Truck Fun?
It wasn't anybody know. It's a Tim McGraw song. It was like his big song at the concert he played. But it was something Truck Fun. Or,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's like I say, my new thing, when I don't like something, what do I say? It's not for me. And I just move on.
I would imagine the exit polls on a concert like that would be very red.
Okay. I went to the Camden River Sharks game last year, and across from the Camden River Sharks, there was a giant concert going on. We had no idea what it was. And it was all, like, country music people. And I was taken aback. I didn't realize there were that many country music fans in our area. I just wouldn't expect it. And there was a horrible smell of pot, too. I think that happened, you know, with the pot... and the country music fans, and I think it's all an excuse. I don't think they necessarily like the music. I think the women love a chance to wear cut-off jean shorts and the hats. What do you think?
And the hats.
The little cowboy hats, like the straw cowboy hats, because I think they look good in them. I think they look cute. Todd?
They're mistaken. Russ, I have a question for Russ, because I've said this before. Russ, I think, even though he is a musician and perhaps has the greatest right to be very opinionated when it comes to music, is, most flexible and open about any kind of genre of music. So do you find merit in today's country music?
Pop country.
Yeah.
No.
You do not.
Then that I can say that definitively. So pop country and, you know, all that glossy garbage,
no, like it.
I mean, you know, there's a big difference between classic country or authentic country.
And like classic, like Billy Ray Cyrus and the guys.
Yeah.
Like
and
the forefathers of country.
There are people today who are playing country in a classic vein, and I'm blanking on the guy's name. Like it's like it was like Jones something, or I'll have to find
Rick Moranis.
Yeah, Rick Moranis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Actually, that album is pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
He has a country album.
There's a guy now. Yeah, the
Agoraphobic Cowboy.
I can't remember what his name is, but he's putting out this just heart destroying, like authentic country. It is kick ass. I'll have to get the link because
we'll put that link up. Now you mentioned country album by Rick Moranis. That made me think a popular band who just broke up had a very popular country album.
I wouldn't use the word very popular for the band nor the album that they put out that was country.
We're talking
but
about Ween
put out, I think, a great country album called, that, I believe, 12 Country Classics.
That album is loaded with like classic Nashville.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Players.
Yep.
It's great.
Good stuff.
Yeah. I think Piss on a Rope is probably
Piss
the,
up a Rope.
Piss up a Rope. Uh-huh. That is awesome.
Language.
Piss on a Rope. I
okay.
Like that
better. Pee-pee. How about we say that? All right. Do something like that. Guys, this is the day before summer. It's the last day of spring. So I think we kind of wanted to base the show around summer, summer fun. And it's real easy to say summer's great and summer's a lot of fun. And there's one thing we love on this show. It's controversy, right? We're always looking at the edgy, causing controversy, trying to get into papers with stuff. So I want to say, you know, not everything about summer's great, guys. Not everything's great.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to nail a list, a big list of what's wrong with summer. And there's going to be some arguments here, okay? But I just want to throw one out. I don't like fireworks.
Anti-fireworks.
They think two reasons. Scared of shit out of my dog. Always. Dogs don't like it. And they keep going on later and later and later. And when you have little kids and all they want to do is go to fireworks.
Yeah, we are rock and roll.
Right? We're rock and roll. This is an old cranky man. You bring your wagon to the fireworks.
What I don't like about fireworks is how late they go on.
Well, here's the deal. It gets dark at 8:30.
Well, they keep on pushing. They keep on pushing dusk back.
It's like 10 o'clock.
That is awesome.
10 o'clock. I have like a 4-year-old asleep. I have a 7-year-old just whining, crying, already eaten everything, and you know we're just like they're coming on. And then you know it's like they're never that great to me. You know what I mean? So I'm just fireworks. So obviously, you guys still pro firework? Nah. One way or the other. You're an art guy.
You know,
like the explosion
every once in a while,
fun.
You'll see – I mean, it's always the same thing. But every once in a while, you'll see one that and you kind of just get that little tug and go, yeah, that was pretty cool. But once in a while. There's a lot of rinky-dink fireworks displays.
When I was in high school, there was a big firework display on Spring Lake Boardwalk, and it was this huge firework company that did the 4th of July fireworks up in New York, like Statue of Liberty. They came down, made this big production – and they had a misfire, and fireworks, no lie, went right into the crowd. And this one, like, flew right near one of the beach houses where the bad checkers are. And, like, the schlep rock of Spring Lake, this guy Chucky, who everything bad happens to, one hit him. Like, square in the arm. He didn't die or anything. But everybody found out. They're like, oh, my God, it hit Chucky. Oh, my God, it hit Chucky. Remember my friend's like, Chucky ruins everything. Chucky could even ruin Christmas. And, like, that always stuck with me. That
so,
the
guy's like a firework magnet.
Yeah. Hit this guy who everything bad happens to.
So you growing up in a beach town,
yes.
Right? Were there a lot of fireworks?
Every frigging weekend, now there are fireworks. Like for no reason at all. They're like, well, it's 4 weeks to 4th of July, so it's prep fireworks.
Yeah, well, that's because, you know, so where I grew up in, I spent my summers in Queens, and it was right on the beach, and there was fireworks all the freaking time. And the reason why I'm asking this is because there were people that would have fireworks fights. So I vividly remember people holding Roman
candles. Russ is from Long Island, Long Island, so this is par for the course.
Yeah, holding Roman candles and, like, shooting them at each other and, like, jumping behind, like, boats that would be up on the beach and stuff and firing Roman candles at each other. It was mostly Roman candles and bottle rockets or the jumping jacks.
Oh, sure, why not?
Because you could whip them if you knew somebody was hiding behind a boat, like, throw it over there and it would jump around and force them to jump out.
Sure.
But, I mean,
throw an M80 in there just for kicks. Yeah, why not?
I never partook in that, but it's
you would
little,
watch?
Yeah, I watched
those. So you'd be like, let's go see the fireworks, or let's go see Larry and Fred go throw them at each other. Not as extravagant, but still kind of fun. Hey, if you leave for the baby when you have paternity leave from the show, we're going to hire a new Russ. So if you guys know anybody who knows anything about audio stuff and has to have a Long Island accent, that's kind of important and has a lot of stories.
Russ is irreplaceable, Jeff.
Okay. We'll go on hiatus also. I'm also not a fan of having to defeat the rich rival kids at a camp in a tug of war every summer.
Did you go to camp? You're not a camp person.
I'm just tired of
doing that. You mean you're tired of the montages in the movies.
Did you go to camp?
No.
Yeah, because So didn't you feel, as a kid, there were these camp movies and all that stuff, and I was like,
yeah.
Who the hell does this?
Yeah.
Like, who actually goes to camp?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Well, Jewish kids go to camp.
Yeah.
And the camps aren't, they're not Jewish. I mean, there's, I don't believe there's an affiliation between Judaism and camp. But there's
in the Bible,
but there's a yeah.
And, Old
but,
Testament, yes.
But,
New Testament.
But in my experience, for the most part, it's right down that line.
Really?
Who does and does not go to camp?
I mean, but I mean,
both when I was in school and as a teacher,
I didn't know anybody who went. Maybe it was because of just where I grew up, but I didn't know anybody who went to camp.
Didn't you go to rock, little guy, so, rock and roll camp?
No.
When you were little?
No. So all
mullet
those
camp,
movies, like,
mullet camp.
They just seemed really stupid to me or really foreign.
Gosh, hurry up! I don't want to miss Night Ranger class.
I didn't think people actually did that.
No, they didn't.
Ranger class.
No, we didn't have camps, but I know people who went to camps.
Yeah.
And then lastly, stealing cars. Every summer, you know what I mean? Like, everybody just stealing cars and getting into hijinks like that. Right?
After Memorial Day, you can start stealing white cars.
You're not in favor of that.
No, I mean, it was fun when we were growing up. Everybody, you know, stealing cars and getting your best gal and just driving off down Thunder Road. And, you know, all that fun summer stuff. Just, I don't like it anymore.
Okay.
I will tell you what I do like about summer. My three best things about summer. You ready?
Go ahead.
This list cannot be messed with. Swimming in water, it's great. That's number three. Drinking alcohol on a porch or deck near sunset, that's great too, right? Number one, outdoor showers.
Yes.
Nothing better. Don't you dare say any different. Anything better about summer?
What?
Anything better?
Than that? Than
an outdoor shower? Yes.
I agree
summer.
With you.
Well, I guess not.
No. Todd? Best thing about summer right now for you?
Best thing?
Yeah.
Well, I think my being relieved of my work.
Yes.
Is for me the best thing. But you told me to prepare some things that were overrated.
Yes, I'd like to hear.
So I have two beefs with summer things.
Whoa.
One is water ice.
Yeah.
Because like,
this is be careful. It's Philadelphia.
Well, but who does water ice think that it is, like that it can seasonally just come and go? You know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my point is, like, so ice cream
yes.
or daiquiris or Slurpees, like,
yeah.
they're cold things, but we all have refrigeration. Like, everything, they're available all year long.
Right.
But for water ice, I think it's because it's presumptuous for it to be like, oh, it's summertime, and this is a summer thing, and we'll be open now and never open any other time. So there's the one thing.
I think it's a seasonal thing. The people who make it are experts in their field, and they go off to other...
The master icers,
right,
yeah.
The icers,
yeah.
Right. They're just like, you know, now it's time to go to, like, Australia or wherever the weather's different times. I don't know.
They migrate. You maybe you're right.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. And it's a group of them that go, you know, and they're very... They have their own utensils, like bags and... So and what else? What else? What else? What else?
I'm done with the Outer Banks.
I'm done
with the Outer. First of all, a bunch of pretentious people going to the Outer Banks in the first place. But
yeah.
Now, second of all, let's not, Northerners, send our tourist dollars down to North Carolina anymore.
Yeah.
You know, let's boycott North Carolina.
But then you'll miss all the fun of laying on the beach and then having like a giant lifted truck drive by you and almost run over your head.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, that happens. If you go to some of the beaches, their trucks are allowed.
Uh-huh.
And you know you can have fun and you can play with your kids, and then like hillbillies on trucks will just come zooming down the beach and you have to watch out for them. Russ, anything bad about summer? You're pretty pro-summer.
I'm just, yeah. I guess it doesn't hit me one way or the other because my life doesn't change that much. I guess I hate yard work.
Oh, there you go.
I hate that about the summer.
Yeah, but that's...
I'm not big on beach culture in general.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not a beach guy.
No. What do you connect... What would you define beach culture as
so,
being?
So, like, when he says having a drink on a deck, I'm like, yeah, that sounds nice. But, like, but the people who are, like, all about, like, breaking out my flip-flops, I'm so excited.
Hermit crabs?
Sitting on the beach all day, like, that just sounds boring as snot to me. I want to
flip-flops, just boring to you?
They're so boring. I like doing stuff more, you know. So like a beach is great if there's things to do.
And you can't do stuff in you can't do stuff in flip flops, right?
Well,
it would hinder my active lifestyle.
Okay, so how about this is not really a summer thing, but like what is with you know how people have the Outer Banks sticker on the back of their car,
OBX.
Which is really
OBX.
Annoying and stupid. Equally annoying and stupid is the flip flops on the back of people's cars. Very prominent.
You
these
hate.
Days.
You really
so
hate.
So, what are they saying? Like, I love flip flops. I love summer. Like, I find that tedious. I just do.
You're working yourself up into a lather, aren't you?
Well, you asked me what I hate about summer.
Anybody flip? Well, just out. You and your
Is it actually that kind. That's the kind that
I think they're called thongs.
On the back of their,
they're called their window. They're called feet thongs.
Thongs. Like that. Take that insouciant footwear out of here.
Do you remember just for a moment, maybe 1987, for about a month and a half, available were flip-flops that had no securing device to the top of the foot. They were just adhesive.
They were like
giant flip-flop stickers that you would put your bare feet onto, and you would flip-flop around. But you wouldn't even flip-flop around.
You would trudge around.
Yeah, you would just... And then you could just kind of revitalize them by washing them. But yeah, they're like flypaper.
Do you know
like
how
flip-flop flypaper.
Do you know how many people died wearing them?
What do you mean you revitalize them by washing?
Like, I think, like, you know, they would collect sand and dirt and stuff, and I think you could, like... The same way that the kind of the octopi that would crawl down the wall,
it would get it sticked back
if you washed it up. Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, I don't think people were. Well, most people didn't, I guess.
No, they're not doing it anymore. Last, are you guys into tanning still?
As much as I've ever been.
I don't like tan feet. I really don't. And flip flops are part of that. I do still see people like insanely. I go to Belmar. And we're home to Guido's. I don't know if people are familiar with Guido's, Jersey Shore. Yeah, we pretty much, I don't mean to brag, but we had a lot more than Seaside had. And then the show got popular, so now all our Guido's went down to Seaside. But we really had, like, the most, the best.
The Guido's are nomadic, though.
Yeah, well, the thing was when they heard about, you know, Seaside, they were all like, screw Belmar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just wanted to go where the action was and hopefully get on TV. But we still have them, and they're like, you know, nice enough people. Like I said, we've mentioned this in the show before. I've probably talked to two in my whole lifetime. You know, like, you just never interacted. I told you the body surfing, the guy grabbed me and forced me to teach him how to body surf. And that was like the 1 2-hour period I had interacting with them, and scared to death, but I taught him and they had a good time. But the tanning ritual that you see on those shows, like Jersey Shore and all that, it goes on at the beach, and it's fascinating. It is like you're Diane Fossey in a beach chair watching these gorillas do their mating rituals, their tan stuff.
They put like oil on and stuff?
Yeah.
Do they use the mirror thing?
No,
like,
it's all like, you know, they just have stuff.
Gidget.
Yeah.
There's a modern reference. Well done.
Gidget. Nice.
Like Gidget.
Is that the edgy kind of summer programming you wanted me to talk about?
Yeah. A young Sally Fields. That's flying nun, Sally Field. Awesome. Guys, you know what we need? We need an injection of a guest right now. Because we want to keep the summer going. Hopefully the guest doesn't have as many angry words about summer as we did. Hopefully it'll be a little more positive. Russ, you have a little music?
Sure, I can bring up.
Yeah, let's bring up some music for our guest here. Ladies and gentlemen, author, editor, keyboardist. He's written for Penthouse, Maxim. He's the managing editor of GuySpeed.com. He's the author of a new ebook called Thank You for Not Laughing, and wrote 2 books about being an asshole. But he's not. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Illuminati. Come on up, Chris. You crazy son of a bitch. Get up here. Chris Illuminati.
How's it going?
Thanks for coming.
I just wanted to let you know right off the bat, I don't know anything about Gidget, so I might be lost for the first 10 to 15 minutes. So if you guys could just kind of...
We'll ease up on the Gidget. Some other fun references like that. Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello.
What was that song, Russ? Was that from like Vision Quest? What is that?
Oh,
yeah.
What is that?
That was Monolith by Maserati.
Yeah.
One of the best instrumental bands out there. Yeah. Chris, this is another like monumental thing for me in my social media life.
Uh-oh.
A couple shows ago, I met Eric Smith. A friend who I'd never met before, and then we meet here.
Let me be the first to apologize about that.
It didn't go well.
I'm sorry that you met
Eric. Right, you know, but it was great. And then we've been friends online for many years.
Many years. Actually, we started when I worked at a website called PhillyBurbs.com.
Yes.
And some of those people are here tonight.
Yeah, Philly Burbs. Give it up.
Did an interview with you guys, and that has to be bordering on at least 4 to 5 years now. So that's where we first started, and then this whole Twitter thing happened.
Twitter and
the
Facebook.
World became a very small place.
Yeah, back in the day, you and I were discussing writing books and self-publishing as opposed to all that good stuff via email, right?
Yeah, and actually, it's amazing. I was thinking about it today. I don't think you've changed your Twitter picture in about 5 years.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I mean,
Bert Conti never dies, and he really doesn't die on Twitter.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
I just thought about that.
He's much more handsome, and he's an idol of mine. I really enjoy his work. Not so much lately. Not a lot.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
dead.
Dead career.
Very dead. But no, but it's one of those things, like I said with Eric, it's just fun to, you know, finally meet people in person. I was saying to Todd, like, it's so neat. You know, you have Twitter friends. You see him here. Some
it's
of
so
them are
neat.
Here. Well, it is neat, Russ. You have no friends, okay? You're just, you don't want to even get involved. So just sit back. No. But then when you meet him in person, it's fun. And I said to Todd, you know, isn't it fun? And Todd's like, I don't think I do it.
Yeah, you have to be into it. Are you into the whole social media
thing?
Yeah,
Todd is. Todd's good at it, but I don't think you
No, I don't engage. Try to arrange meetings.
No, first of all, we save that for Craigslist. We don't do that on Twitter.
But yeah, there have been some people, yeah. Do you feel like you are... There's a potential to be really disappointed, though, because, you know...
Immensely.
Yeah, and has that been the case, mostly?
You know what? I mean, when you think about it, for the social media aspect... You're talking to regular people, so you can't be really disappointed that you're talking to people. There have been
good point.
Like people that I'm fans of that I've met in person, and I know you should never meet your idols because once you do, you're like, what a jerk. So that part has been kind of disappointing. Or, you know, you follow this person on Twitter and they're just this hilarious, you know, off the cuff kind of person, and you meet them and they don't say one word, and they're about, you know, as they're about as fun as a wet blanket.
But they probably want to, like, I don't want to waste a word because I want to tweet it.
Right, exactly. Right?
I don't want to waste a word on this crisp character when I can zing the crowd on Twitter.
But let
right?
me tweet about him in about 5 minutes once he walks away.
As a writer, though, you must think about this, and maybe you encounter this in other writers. I know as an artist, I think there are some people that are entertaining across the board, but then there are other people that are really good at, let's say, writing or tweeting or making paintings or drawings because that is the way they communicate as opposed to a conversation, you right. know, like that's their outlet.
Yeah, there are some people that are very good at everything, and there's some people that are just good at Twitter or just good at Facebook, and I think you could tell because they're the ones that stick with that. Like if you see a person that's got 30,000 Twitter followers yet you can't find any other mention of them on the internet,
that's interesting.
You know that it's like, okay, they're good at being funny or smart for 150
in that way, yeah.
characters. Yeah, so you kind of stick with your little thing and you go with it. But it is kind of fun to meet the people in person because just with anything else, you have this vision of what you think this person is going to be like, and they are totally nothing like that.
Especially if, like, it's a guy, and it turns out... I mean, it's a girl, it turns out to be a guy.
Again,
like, she's so hot
Craig's
on Twitter, she's so funny.
This.
And then you meet her, and it's like, oh, you're a guy doing a girl.
You have a much bigger Twitter than I thought. But, yeah, it is a little different when you meet them. Whoa, that got blue? All right, so.
No, too far.
Yeah, I went too far with that.
No, I just think... Well, this ties into something. As you have a new book out, Thank You for Not Laughing, ebook.
Yes,
which
ebook.
An e-book. Very funny.
Thank
Enjoyed
you.
Enjoyed it.
Thank
I read it, and I rarely read anything nowadays.
Oh, good.
And my question to you is, and I think I discussed this with Todd, it's that fine line of promoting online but not over-promoting. Like, and the thing is, you're entertaining on Twitter and Facebook, and you have, you know, your people expect certain things from you to entertain them. And then you have to – I think it's a fine line. Like, I'd really like to promote my book 40 times today because I really want it to sell, but you don't.
Right.
Some people do
right.
who we follow. but how do you work that out?
You know, I think one tweet a day almost feels like too much. It's really weird. And then what always brings me back to it is, like, I'll be like, okay, look, I should probably tweet about the book today, or I should probably put a link out to the book today. And then I feel like, oh, I've done it too much. And then someone will email me and go, I just found out you had a new book.
Yes,
why don't you tell me?
Right.
But, well, I put it on. But then, you know, you have to think, people don't check their feed every 5 minutes. They don't look at their Twitter every 5 minutes. People don't pay attention to what I'm saying every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the people that follow you, they get it. They know what you're doing. They figure I'm going to make a penis joke any minute. So
right.
I'll stick around for the 4 plugs for my book.
Yeah.
for the one joke.
Yeah, I think it's easier to divide it up. Like, if the person doing it, if their sole job is, like, I'm a comedian, like Dave Hill. He's a comedian. His whole job is I need to sell this book to make a living.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he kind of went overboard, the past couple weeks. I mean, probably 5-6 tweets a day.
But part of it is if you can promote what you're doing in a very funny way. So I think if you can make a tweet that could exist independent of the promotion and then connect it to the promotion, then I am willing to, as a reader, give a little bit more leeway. So Dave Hill, when he crafts a tweet that's promoting something that he's participating in or trying to sell, it's also funny within itself.
Yeah, some.
I think we think about it too much. I mean, if think? I mean, not in that way. I think we think about this way too much. Can we go back to the Kenny Chesney, Tim McGraw thing?
Are you a fan of either?
You know, I'm going to pull the curtain back.
Uh-oh.
On this one.
You can put a hat on, too?
I've been to a Tim McGraw Faith Hill concert.
Wow. What was it like? This is going to be
awful.
Oh.
Awful. Well, okay.
Yeah, so why did you go? How'd you end up there?
Why not? No. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So the story goes that my permanent roommate / wife, I call her my permanent roommate, she got my mother-in-law tickets for her birthday to see Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. And she said, I got tickets. They're really good. I scored 3. And I was like, great. Who are you guys bringing? Not knowing I was the third. And we actually – the concert was on a Saturday night. We were in Long Beach Island. It was the – I'm sorry. It was a Friday night. It was the Friday before we left for the week.
Yeah.
So we were done. So the Saturday was our last day. Friday night, I had to drive from Long Beach Island to it was then the Spectrum.
Oh, my
so I had
God.
To drive to the Spectrum to watch this show that I didn't want to watch, to then drive back to Long Beach Island – to pack up all my stuff to leave the beach in 4 hours.
Yeah.
So I was miserable at a concert. I was miserable driving home. I easily did 90 on the way home. But it was, you know what?
Was it fun people watching?
It's for some people. It's for some people.
Yeah.
It's not for you,
right?
It's not for me.
Yeah.
Did your mother-in-law have fun?
She hooted and hollered for about 4 hours.
That's awesome. And what part of the South is she from? Very deep South?
Yes, Cherry Hill.
There you go. There's some southern parts of Cherry Hill. Getting back to your writing and stuff like that, you've written for Penthouse. You had a book called Asshole. So it's a lot of fun, like telling the parents.
You know, they actually responded much better than I thought they would.
Yeah.
The hard part now is I have a 2-year-old son, so eventually it's going to get into what does daddy do? So all of my work is on the top shelf.
And yeah,
I
there you go.
When he's old enough to grab it, he could read it.
Right.
So let's hope he's not 6 foot. But, I mean, I hope he's 6 foot. But, so it wasn't so bad. The parents were happy, although they do get to the point they're like, you know, can't you write something nice? Can't you just write something nice? And so, well, I think it was nice.
Yeah, right.
I called him a D-bag. I think it was nice.
But to balance that out, you also you write a daddy blog.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, you're a true writer, busting your ass. You're good at many different types of things. You're writing for many different types of things.
But
right?
Seemingly all for men.
Yes, definitely.
Right? I mean,
all for men.
Is that something that you're very aware of? That there are certain that there are
why do you hate
uniquely
women?
Different sensitivities for men.
Why won't you? Yeah, why don't you understand? There's a 50% of our population. Women can read.
Yeah,
Chris, damn it.
I know. Yeah, everything changed. No, I don't write. I don't think I write specifically just for. I mean, I do write for men, but I also write for that small group of women who like to laugh at anything or who
sure.
like to read anything.
Large group of women.
Because there are a lot of women that follow the blog. There are a lot of women that follow the blog, and they actually think it's funnier sometimes than guys.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm writing directly for men, but I think it's got the appeal for men, and then women kind of gravitate towards it. Because if we're being honest, I mean, I used to write for Ask Men, and they used to tell me that, and the comments showed it, like 75% of that stuff is read by women.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh.
Would they tell you then to skew it more or just keep doing
it? No,
the guy
write
stuff?
It for a guy because but, women want to know what guys are reading.
Yeah. And it's really fun reading comments.
It's like strong enough for male, but pH balanced for a woman reader.
Yeah, make your writing just like a Head and Shoulders commercial. Actually, it only lasts for 30 seconds and then it's really boring. But yeah, so write it towards a guy, but remember that there are women reading and commenting, and they love to comment.
Wait, so what did you write for Penthouse? Did you write like the sex stories?
No, I wrote the centerfold. I wrote all our interests.
I don't know what else is in there, but like I know that Playboy
Russ
has articles. Right?
Sure you don't.
I don't think I've ever. I mean,
Playboy has articles, right? Does Penthouse have articles? Is that what you were writing?
Yes, they do.
Okay, or were you writing like the sex
smut?
Story?
No, I wasn't writing smut.
Well, isn't that what's in there?
No, the first article I wrote for them was about how I reached a certain age that I can just get out of doing things that I don't want to do just by using my age. So like, I'm 30, I don't have to do that. Or I'm this age, I don't have to do that. And it revolved around I broke off an engagement and took the money and went to Vegas with it.
Oh.
So it revolved around that, but it was about doing things that I don't
Why
want to
do.
Why
wouldn't you just buy a suit
age.
Of armor, like a video game suit of armor?
Who would do that? Who would do that? Who would do that?
Callback.
Do you know how hard it is to get a suit of armor on an airplane? I couldn't go to Vegas in a suit of armor. But yeah, so that was the first article. The second article I wrote for them I went to New Orleans, and they have a running of the Bulls there.
Oh,
except
wow.
The Bulls are roller derby girls. With loaded wiffle ball bats that chase you through the streets.
Loaded with what? Loaded with...
They tape them up. They put I won't say completely loaded.
But they're weighted, though.
Yeah, they're not your typical thing. Wiffle ball bat. It hurts. So they chase you through the streets for a mile and a half at 8 in the morning after you drank the entire night before and that morning. And they chase you all through the streets.
That's awesome.
For a mile and a half, you get to the end, and there's this whole big party, and you drink.
And at the end, they're lanced?
At the end, if you don't feel you've gotten beaten enough...
Yeah.
They all line up, and you can go through, and they will each take a whack at you.
How was that fun? When you didn't have enough, and you didn't go through.
I don't remember. It was one of those things where we got back to the hotel room at 4. We were up at 7:30. The only reason I got up was because I was getting paid to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
If I wasn't getting paid, like I went with a bachelor party of, there was about 14 of us. I think 3 of us made the actual run.
Yeah, 2 died.
Yeah,
just imagine dying that way.
They were gored.
Yeah, just like dying with a weighted wiffle ball bat, like to a really lame part that you're not supposed to die from.
And it's one of those things you're done too, and it's like, it's still just 9 in the morning. You've been drinking all night, and you're like,
what now?
What do I do now?
What can you top?
Do I drink? Do I go to sleep? Do I ask for a wiffle ball bat? Like, what do I do?
That sounds fun. See, Russ, it's not all about smut. There's some nice.
I will get you a subscription. How about that? I'll tear out all the dirty pictures.
I wonder if smut magazines like that, like smut magazines, like, you know, gentlemen's magazines like that still sell, the physical paper, you know, like, do they sell as well? Because porn is just so readily available online.
You know what I think hurts them? The plastic bag.
Yeah?
When you go to the store, I mean, you want to look through a magazine. I know you're not supposed to look through those magazines.
Yeah.
Actually, funny story. So when I first started writing for those, you're supposed to get the voice of the magazine you're writing for. So I went to my local Borders and I picked up a Playboy, a Penthouse, just in case a Hustler,
a
Maxim, and like...
Maxim?
And like a better Homes and Gardens just to make myself feel better.
That's fine with the first three.
So I'm standing in line and there's a woman standing in front of me, and then there's a very old woman at the front of the line just taking her sweet time checking out.
Right.
And the woman behind me turns up in front of me turns around to complain about the older woman and is having a 2-minute conversation with me until she notices the magazines I'm reading and just kind of gives me a look and is like,
ugh.
And turn around and didn't talk to me the rest of the time in line. And I really tried to, like, make conversation, but she didn't.
I saw, right before our Borders closed, I saw, like, this giddy as hell, like, 9-year-old boy in a chair by himself in, like, the classics section, and he had a big geography book, and he had the smuttiest magazine inside the book, and he's just sitting there like so uncomfortable looking around, and I'm like, I peer over and I just started like laughing, and he just looked up like the eyes, like, just don't tell anybody.
Maybe he was reading one of Nick's articles. Wait, laughing his ass off.
What was your first, everybody here, what was your first quote unquote smut Meg, what was the first thing you looked at?
Well, I'm a little bit older, so it was, what was her name? Marilyn Monroe's first pictorial. No. No. I remember Bo Derek in Playboy was, like, humongous. Like, big, like, people. Wow. Yeah, I was really little.
Was she on Gidget?
What's
it? She was Gidget's best friend.
I was like, dude, there's a movie called 10 with Dudley Moore.
I know Bo Derek.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's, I think that, you know. That was probably mine. Todd, nothing?
It was never about magazines for me. It was always about cable television.
Oh, yeah,
was
right,
the big
right.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Like the greatest feeling as a young child, like you're 12, and HBO's coming out. It's like, bah, da, 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 da. And HBO's rolling on the screen. You're going like this. You're going like this.
Yeah,
you're
like
going,
R,
going, 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 just going, the following motion picture has been rated. You're like, come on. R. You're like, yes! You don't care what it is. But it's like, you know, it's just like, Porky's 2. And you're like, oh, my God.
Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, that's what I say. And then they're just like, Chariots of Fire. Or you're like, what the hell?
But you guys probably did. I know it's cliche, but even watching the pay-per-view channels,
Scramble.
Scramble. Because you could occasionally catch a glimpse.
Sure.
I mean, like, you saw enough. It was certainly better than watching a sitcom.
See, now, if you want to appeal to the younger crowd, you don't say the scrambled cable box. What you have to say is the very slow-loading internet. Everyone gets that.
Well,
back when you had dial-up and the picture would take this
We've
long.
We've never tried to cater to a younger crowd. They know three old men are sitting in front of microphones and doing it. So, any other...
Russ, you ever have a magazine?
I didn't have them, but I had friends who like stumbled across their dad's collections. Like my dad didn't have that stuff, but my friend and but I looked.
You never found it.
Well, if my friend's dads have it, my dad probably does, but I never came across it.
He does.
3 hours later, ramsacking his room. There's just like socks and underwear everywhere. Damn it, Dad!
I never came across anything, but my friends had them, so I saw them. Yeah.
Any other?
On the inside, do you have any like statistic that would surprise us, like that all men have bought, or that all households have at least 4 hidden, or some kind of, is there some kind of like
one out of 3 people in my house have a porno?
There you go.
and I live with my wife and kid. So you figured out. You figured out
it works
who the one
out,
is.
Yeah.
Statistically, I'm sure some people still stick to the magazines.
Like, does Penthouse sell as well as? Does it sell better than we would think? Is it like right after
it probably
Time and O magazine?
Is that another porn?
Is that another magazine?
O's a magazine, right. It's a different kind of porn for people.
You know, I would think they do because they would lose money.
Yeah, right.
They would have to be making some type of money. I think people still stick to that type of way to get their pornography because they don't want to put it on their home computer. They don't want to look at it on their iPad like you are right now. They don't want to. They don't want to like have any trace of it. So if you go to a magazine store, buy a magazine,
drive to
look
the magazine,
at it,
drive
it
to middle of a field in the middle of nowhere, sit there.
There are half people that are still reading it. So I would think probably not as well as we might think.
Who advertises in Penthouse?
There's a lot of like extendies.
AshleyMadison.com.
You would be surprised who advertises it, and you would be surprised what working at on a men's website.
Yeah.
You would be surprised what people click.
Mm. Oh yeah, yeah.
We've had ads that I think to myself,
no one in their right mind
would click that, and it explodes.
Like what? Like
yeah, give us.
Okay, I'm going to try and keep this as PG as possible. We had an ad last week. It started on GuySpeed.com.
GuySpeed.com.
It was just a woman, and her mouth was very wide open.
Right.
And there was the play button for the video, like, going into her mouth.
Oh, okay.
And
no other information besides
up
that.
Up top it said, how to, and then female, you know. To get her, you know. So, looking at the ad, I was thinking to myself, no one in their right mind is going to click on that. Ever. So we only put it in the babe section of the website. It was the most clicked
ad. It's like the About Us babes.
Ever in our company's history. Ever.
Really?
I think it was, they gave me the last stats. It only ran for a week in something like 60,000 impressions. Almost 5,000 people clicked on it.
USA.
So you think to yourself, who's still buying this stuff? Who's still looking at it? People are.
We should make a Used Wigs ad.
We should.
With like the logo in someone's mouth.
Sure.
How to make a female leave.
Oh, my God. You know what, Russ? That was a good note to take a break on. Why don't we play a song? We're all going to refresh our drinks. We're all going to go to guyspeed.com and click an ad.
Please do.
Russ, why don't we play something by a band I like? Easter Island. This is a new song called Hash from their new album, Frightened.
I'll drag you out.
And we'll be back in 5 minutes, people. Let's refresh our drinks.
Yes.
Newsweek's Radio Podcast 97. Let's give a round of applause to everybody in the crowd right now. Woo! Thank you for coming out, everybody. It's fantastic. It's a lot of fun.
This is the youngest crowd I think we've ever had.
Yeah, this is great.
That's why I pulled the Gidget stuff.
Yeah, because you guys probably knew we were just going to be talking about porn all night long, right? Newsweek's
like Gidget remake. Many years later, wasn't there?
Must have been.
Like a Gidget Today or something like that.
Chris, come back up, please. Kind
of Gidget Generations.
You're not getting away from us now. Todd and I were just discussing...
Porn.
And Todd wasn't afraid to admit that he really liked beer with lime in it, right?
I was saying there are certain beers that I enjoy the garnish, I think, more than the beer.
Yeah.
And so a Hoegaarden with lemon is very nice. I think Corona, which I don't like at all, except for with the lime.
Right, there you go.
And I'm not afraid to say that I like an orange in a... And a blue moon.
Wow. Russ. How
many other things
Chris,
can you say?
Chris, you could put an apple in a Bud Light.
I don't like beer.
You never don't like beer at all?
I do.
How about a nice cantaloupe and a Guinness?
I'll have a blue moon once in a while.
What do you drink? You like a whiskey guy?
Doers.
Doers?
Yeah.
What, Russ, you're a whiskey guy. What is Doers? Scotch? Yeah. I know nothing about this stuff. That's like my father-in-law drinks, and I don't know anything about that. What are you drinking?
This is Leslie's recommendation from the bar. This is Pernod.
Pernod? Wow. How is it? Want some fruit in there?
There's no fruit in there.
No fruit in there. All right.
Like a handful of cashews or anything?
You got a cantaloupe down there I could use?
That's our weekly fruit beer talk we like to always put in every podcast. If you guys have any suggestions for fruit beer, let us know.
It's because we're health nuts.
Yeah, right.
0.03% of your daily good.
Yep, there we go. Well, we're talking about this show. What we really want to talk about is summer, of course. And that's summer bash. Real quick, Chris. Anything you hate about summer, or are you pretty good with it?
I'm going to completely agree with you on the fireworks.
Yeah, thing. Right?
I could... It's
because they go on too late?
It's 3,000 people sitting in a field and watching things explode in the sky.
Right,
I mean,
right.
What year is this? I mean, can we just... sit at home and do something else.
Can we just not go outside? That's my big thing.
Maybe I'm just bitter because I'm from Jersey and we're not allowed to have fireworks, which is
at all
a good
where?
Thing.
Like
well, they're illegal. I mean.
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed to have them in your backyard.
Yeah, not allowed to have them.
Your horrible neighbors on the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, we're not allowed to own them.
We're firing them up in the air because we're trying to get rid of them. It's illegal to possess these.
So we better blow these up and buy more.
We'll burn them.
I think everybody, when it comes to summer... whether you wanted to have one or not, but there was always that special, like you go on vacation and you have that summer romance, you find a girl, like you're at Niagara Falls with the family, and you look across the falls and there's that little Canadian girl catches your eye, and you're just like, hey, Caillou, or whatever their name, girls, whatever they name Canadian girls, and for that whole week, you're like learning her language.
I think it is Caillou.
You're learning her language, yeah.
Eating poutine or whatever the freaks eat up there. And you have that little connection, right? When you're a kid, maybe you're just with the family.
Yeah.
And it's that beautiful thing where you're just like, I had that romance.
It breaks through the language barrier.
You go home, you tell your buddies. It never really happened, but you tell your buddies it did, right? So this has been kind of a trope you've seen in movies and books, that summer romance. And I love thinking about it. I love people talking about it, like where it actually did happen. Or you're in your hometown, you live in a vacation town, and people come, and you have that summer romance. So I think I'd like to hear from you guys. Todd, any sort of summer romance? I mean, no, we're not going to go into like too much of like, you know.
Because there wasn't too much. So
right.
No.
And you can't make up a story about, you know, a girl from Australia and you were in a gang with Kaniki. Nothing like that, okay?
Well, I just want to tell you quickly because I'm thinking that perhaps the two of you living near the beach don't understand.
Whoa.
But for inlanders like myself,
yeah, sure.
When we would go to the shore for a week.
Yeah.
That's such a small amount of time to have a relationship like bloom and like you know
it?
So I feel like when you would go down to the shore for a week with your friend or a week or two,
you're
on the clock, like, you know, like Monday and Tuesday, like I gotta meet somebody on Monday or Tuesday because by Wednesday or Thursday we gotta be making out or kissing, and you know we're breaking up by Friday or Saturday or either that or works. So there was a tremendous level of anxiety and stress and pressure because of this hyper relationship. Would have to like unfold and happen in 7 days.
So it's like first kiss Tuesday night, really heavy makeout session Wednesday night, Thursday night meet the parents, Friday night break
propose.
Up, and then Saturday just never again, right?
Yeah. and then like out on the prowl again.
Yeah, no, yeah, but out on the prowl.
So,
back
so
in.
I just remember, going down for weeks at a time and just feeling that, like, you know, being on the troll those first couple nights.
And were you wearing your junkyard dog outfit when you're on the prowl?
I was pretty cool. I was wearing my Baja, you know, like, yeah, I was wearing my Baja sweatshirt.
Let's paint a picture, artist.
Yeah.
Let's see what young Tom yeah. would wear.
Yeah,
like in your mind, you're like 12, 13, or even
braces,
15.
A little braces, chunky.
A little fat.
Jams.
Monobrow?
The brow was coming in jams. By then, yeah. Baja sweatshirt. You know, flip-flops that stick to the bottom of your feet. A little bit of Zinka from the day, you know? A couple of little, like, green Zinka under my eyes.
So you had a stick beating just women away.
You had to, at that time, you had to, Jeff. You had to. All went outside shower with me. You know? So that's all I wanted to say was, and I had been involved in some of those, like, week-long relationships, and it was really hyper. It was tightly condensed and compacted compared to any other relationship that you would have, like, during the school year or with someone where you lived, you know, where you could kind of play it cool or let it unfold. It was like, boo, boo, boo. You know, like, find the person. And then, like, if you found a group of two girls and you were a group of two guys, you know, within you had like 14 minutes to figure out who was with who.
Right.
You know, it just happened fast.
You always chose wrong. You always chose wrong. So, every single time.
Anyway, so the one that I recall was a girl named Heather. She was one of my first kisses. Not the Heather that I'm married to
right,
now.
Right,
who was my
right.
favorite Heather, but a different Heather.
Oh, so sweet.
So many Heathers.
Yeah.
So anyway, how about you guys?
Chris.
Well, if I may go back to your whole scenario, your seven-day scenario, you just perfectly described The Bachelor and every other reality show on television. Why they're so popular.
Yes.
All of that stuff happens
Maybe
on a TV
show. Maybe we
have
an idea of a new TV show, right?
Yeah. So that's how it always happens.
As far as
I always, always did better with women on vacation.
Yeah,
it was just,
right?
It was just this thing. It's because, like you said, you could just reinvent yourself.
Yeah,
you
don't know who you are. Different Chris.
And
no baggage.
I wouldn't be that
Would
different.
You bring the keyboard?
No, I would not bring the keyboard.
It's guitar.
You can't get them on the again. You can't get big armor on planes.
Keyboards,
you can't
no.
get keyboards.
Okay, good.
But if I am admitting anything, I lost my virginity on vacation.
Wow.
On vacation.
So comfortable.
To a
keytar.
Look, chicks dig the keytar. What can I say? Look, I mean, if those glasses in the picture don't do enough for me, the keytar really does it. But I did.
So
I lost
summer
my
romance. Wow.
Yeah, it was on a cruise.
No, wow.
Yeah.
Cruise?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's
It wasn't go for anybody else on Love Boat. It was an actual.
Well, like a cruise is a pretty hard place to find a
No, they can't
spot.
Run.
You're like in a Lido deck behind like the
They can't run. It's pretty easy. They just eventually you have to find them again. No, but I think one of the things is you're just so damn bored on the cruise. There's just like nothing else.
So you go with your parents, you're on the cruise, and you're just like I have this virginity. I really want to lose it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, and I had my own cabin.
Let's paint a picture of young Chris. What were you, jams?
Paint a picture of young Chris. Probably the same height.
Yeah.
A little bit smaller in size.
You're like a bodybuilder now. Are you a bodybuilder now?
I'm not.
There's a fine line between bodybuilder and not bodybuilder. I feel like you are right on that line.
I have not worked out in a... I ran a 10K about a week and a half ago, and that's the last time I really did any real exercise. And in preparation for that, I got strep throat.
There you go. I
got really sick.
A lot of running backs will tell you to do that. They'll be like, you know, working your speed work and then strep throat.
Yeah, I got really sick a couple weeks before, and my training was not moving a lot.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, no, I didn't work out. But young Chris... didn't look much different than Chris now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, not much, I don't think. But by then, we're talking, you know, the 17, 18-year-old Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much of a difference.
Yeah, but that's a pretty good summer romance to be able to be like, yeah, you know, I became a man during the summer, right?
Yep.
At sea. Not at sea.
You're allowed to become a man at 18 at sea because there's no laws.
Yeah, there's no
laws. You can drink, gamble, and have sex with women.
Wow.
Get an anchor tattoo on your chest.
Yeah, yeah. I did that afterwards. Where did we go on the cruise? I have no idea. I don't even remember where we went.
You became like a full-fledged man.
Yep.
Yeah, just started wearing pea coats around.
I did.
Stevedoring when he got home, just roping in boats and
then
all that stuff.
I hit the night buffet after that. It was great. I was like, look at that ice sculpture. I just got laid.
I love a good vacation. I told the story. I'll just do it real quick before we get to Russ's deflowering. My buddy went on his honeymoon, and he went to, like, a Sandals, one of those all-inclusive things. And every night, like, they just had fun all day, you know, parasailing and doing all, like, meeting people, high-fiving, you know, the bartenders in the pool and doing all the stuff you do in the commercials. And it was, like, 11 o'clock, they'd be in bed. And then, like, 12 o'clock, she would look over and Steve would be gone. And she's like, oh, I guess she went to the bathroom. Three nights in a row, he would just be gone at, like, 12 o'clock. And she, at the third night, she's just like, I don't know what's going on, but...
Suspicious.
Really suspicious. Like, we just got married. If he's cheating on me or whatever. So fourth night, she follows him, and she's, like, keeping, like, 10 feet away from him, watching him, like, hop down the stairs to the big courtyard, and then, like, follows him around, literally, like, out the hotel towards the pool. She's like, oh, great, he's going to the pool bar. As she gets to the pool bar, she sees, like, all this activity and, like, flames, tiki torches, and she's like, what is going on? They had midnight hamburgers, and he was a heavy guy, and he tried really hard for his wedding to lose all this weight, and he did a really good job. But then once he was married and he was on vacation, he just said to himself, it's just like, I got to be me. And midnight hamburgers, he didn't want to tell her, and he would just go down, like, he wouldn't eat all day long. He's like, you know, I'm still being, you know, thin, Steve, and having fun. And he went, like, three nights in a row and just was, like, stuffing his face. And, like, she called him, and she went down, she's like, hi, Steve. He's like, oh, hey. Just
he probably would have been better off having sex with him.
Yeah, yeah. But she tells the story. She's like, and I felt like at that moment, like, what a sweetie. I felt so bad that maybe I was being, you know, onerous during the let's get married phase to lose weight, whatever.
Right.
But it's kind of like losing your virginity, midnight hamburgers, right? It's like euphemism.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was.
Russ, summer loving? Did you have a blast? Did it happen so fast?
So when you mentioned the cruise, I had totally forgotten about that, but I had a similar.
It was you. I totally put it out of my mind. And now
that was on your trip.
I thought you looked familiar.
I know.
And here you are, all these years later.
It's really good to see you, man.
Do you remember our hamburger buffet? I remember our hamburger buffet. Yeah. In fact, we planned all this.
I truly had not expected this evening to play out that way. No, I was on a cruise that was similar up to the point of boredom and continuing to run into the same girl the whole time. Uh-huh. And I really wanted it to work out, but it didn't. But I had forgot about that until you mentioned
yeah.
it.
Yeah. What was really awkward for me, real quick, I ran into a girl on the cruise. I ended up becoming friends with her. And we ended up going to the same college.
Wow.
It was just a really weird experience. And we didn't know where each other was going. And then I show up the first day of school, and there she is.
Wow.
And it was just a really weird... She wasn't the sex one.
No, she wasn't the sex one.
No, this girl talked to me after. No. No, this was a completely different one, but it's like a really small world. But go ahead.
How good was the girl hiding from you the rest of the cruise? Like, she would just, like, pop up, and you're just like, oh, shuffleboard.
No, it was...
Was there a little love on your part? Did you fall in love a little bit? Young Chris?
No.
No.
Okay. No, it was... I mean, she was really nice. She was a little bit older. I was... She was like 17, almost 18, and she was like 22.
Wow.
Whoa.
Hey.
Yeah. 20. See, and you know what helped?
Oh,
booze. Because we were able to drink. I was able to go in a bar at 18.
Oh,
so that helped. Like, I didn't have to wait at the door. You know, when it was all over, it's like, hey, meet me after one. You know, so I got to go in. So that part was good. But, I mean, yeah, we talked afterwards.
Sweetheart, I brought you a towel folded like a swan.
Look, we're talking right now. We're talking again right now. It's like we haven't left. It's been 16 years, but still.
It's okay.
Russ.
Yeah, I mean, it was mostly near misses. I had one.
Such a romantic.
Yeah, it was mostly like that.
No, I got close to her with my guy parts. And it would just, they'd run away.
No, I mean, it's similar to the stories everybody else has told. It was a lot of that.
Yeah,
But then there was one summer I had a good summer romance with it was a foreign exchange student in town.
Of course. That sounds like a lie.
No, it was true.
Where
is she from?
She was from Columbia.
Columbia.
The country.
The country? Yeah. What language do they speak there?
They speak Spanish.
What's the capital of Colombia?
Bogota.
All right. His story.
Did you date her, or did you study together?
Story checks out.
Yeah, but that was a summer-long thing when I was home.
Two adjoining countries to Colombia next to?
Oh, God.
I'm just joking.
Isn't Venezuela one of them?
It might be.
Yeah.
All right, we'll let you sign this.
So, if you believe
your Colombian lover.
Yeah. That was a good summer.
What was her name?
What was she?
Patricia.
That sounds made up.
Patricia.
It was Pat.
Patricia.
Very nice.
Well, let me ask this about the summer romance, because we are all very old.
Yes.
Would it have been any different if the age of Twitter and Facebook were back then?
Oh, my God. It would be
because
horrible.
You stopped talking, and then, you know, I remember I was in quote unquote love with this one girl that I met down Wildwood, and then we parted ways. And she lived almost an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
Oh my God! But now, I mean, you could meet someone and talk on Facebook that night. So would it be different?
I think it would be.
I can't even imagine the whole dating, unfriending, friending, while dating, all that bull crap, right? You'd just have to get rid of, like, you know, anyone involved. Didn't you have a friend? Friend breaks up with the guy, and you guys are friends with the guy, and the guy's like, okay, everybody, since we broke up, it's been nice knowing you, I'm just going to defriend you all. Like, he was very polite about it. Was that you?
Yeah, it was a divorce, actually.
Oh, divorce. Mm.
And he just basically told us all, like, I can't do this. Like, you guys have been great friends, but see ya. Wow. That kind of, like, broke up with all of us. Wow. It was very strange after a very long time.
But that's a pretty
smooth courtship
move.
Is very different nowadays.
Yeah. It really is. Yeah, you like to use the word courtship, I noticed. Like, you're like, my courting period, you know, like jam-packing my very thought-out courting period in a 7-day, you know, that's tough.
By the third day, did you ask her, are we courting? Is this what you would call courting?
Courting.
Oh, my God, I courted with this girl last night. It was so good. She was so good at courting.
Thinking about pinning her.
Lavaliering. So, no, but you never, nothing really ever, you never had that summer girl. Well, Patricia, fake Patricia. Sure.
I don't care if you believe me.
I know you don't. I really know you don't. I'd just like to have some proof.
It doesn't change what we had.
That is true.
I said that I grew up in a town where, you know, there was like, picture the outsiders, you know, the Socias and the Greasers, where it was in the summer, it was the locals and the Guidos. And, you know, we never mixed. You know, I probably talked to a Guido girl maybe once or twice. They had no interest in us. We had some interest in that. But I remember, like, seeing
you coexisted like ghosts and humans.
Right. Just different planes. Yep. Different ethereal planes. We were just. But, you know, you'd all go on the boardwalk. So it'd be like you're sitting on the boardwalk, me and my buddies, looking good. Just chilling out in the boardwalk. Like, corduroy shorts, maybe up to my, you know, man parts. Ocean Pacific, usually, shorts, maybe like a sun deck shirt, sometimes velour, a little, like, not velour, terry cloth.
Hobie?
Velour.
Terry cloth.
Hobie, I was thinking of.
Hobie, right, I'd be like chilling out with my friends. So, like, Guido girls would walk by, and you'd be like, no, and then, like, local girls would walk by, and be like, yeah. So it was never, I didn't even come close, ever, you know, just it was never even a...
But for somebody who lives down the beach, though, there's a steady flow of vacationers. And you had some. I would imagine you felt like you had some leverage because you knew your way around.
Let me show you around. Yeah, that's always like in the movies. You're just like, boy, this place seems exotic. I wish I knew where to go. And I'd be like, come, let me show you the mountaintop where the locals go.
I have a question. When you and your buddies went to go hang out, like, if you went to go pick them up and you were wearing the same airbrush shirt,
yes,
who went back in and changed? Like,
if it was hypercolor, just one guy could like warm his up a lot more, and the other guy to keep his cool.
It's like, dude, I told you I was wearing airbrush Taz today.
It literally, we'd sit on the boardwalk for like maybe an hour. Nothing, and we would just look at each other, and it would just be unspoken. You'd be like, "You want to do it? Let's do it." And like the four of us, all right, we'd go to the little arcade, not even the big one where the action was.
Oh, I thought for sure you were going to say you all busted into barbershop.
We would just go to little grimy arcade, not even the big one where all this stuff was happening, rooftop golf and all that. And we'd just like go, like I'd go to my Dig Dug machine, other guys would go punch out, and they'd just, you know, and that was it. But I always thought it would be a neat, and I think we could do this in this day and age.
Dig Dug?
Yeah, a Dig Dug based, no, like a dating show.
It's funny to you that like if nothing was happening with girls, you would go play video games. Because for me, when I ran out of quarters, then I would maybe go try to meet somebody. completely different priorities.
This is even better. What? Name one girl that you ever hooked up with.
What, back then?
Yeah.
I mean, when I got into later years of high school, I talked to girls, but I mean, back when I was
what Chris, what Chris said.
Okay, now
was
now
name a name.
Yeah, now name your high score in Dig Dug. What was your high score in Dig Dug?
Oh, I was like fucking. Yeah, if I said
you remember that, but you wouldn't remember the girl.
Here's the deal: if I said the number, you'd be like, you're lying.
I don't think you're lying. I think you remember.
Dude, you can't even. I don't even want to say it in front of you.
You're
like
twice.
Like, flipped it.
No, but it was like one of those things. But I think it would be a great idea that a dating show, you could do it right now in Belmar, where you take a local and you take a Guido girl and you just, she has to pick a local guy, you know, like surfer guy, whatever, or vice versa. He has to pick a Guido chick. And I think it would be fun just to see what shenanigans would happen from there.
There's certainly a market for that.
Yeah, I think there is. I think it could be on everything.
Tell you that much, yeah.
I did. There was one. My neighbors, old people, they lived down the street from us. Their granddaughters came once. The Wright girls. There's three of them, and the one Debbie Wright was like so cute, like just so cute. I got initially
the Wright
just
sisters.
Infatuated with her, and it was like one Saturday. And she just, like, we were playing wiffle ball on the lawn. She came over, and she was just like, you know, and I was literally like, oh, and I'm like, mm-hmm. hey. And I was like, hey. And she was, like, nice to me and talking to me. And I'm like, well, she might be interested in me. And I was like, you know, hey, play wiffle ball, why don't you play with us? And we're, like, really kind of hitting it off. And then I'm like, she's like, well, we're going to go to dinner. I'm like, cool, I'm going to go shower because I wanted to be clean because I was filthy. I mean, always just dirty. I'm like, I'm going to shower, put on my best, you know, outfit and come out. And, you know, really lay the moves on and just have a new girlfriend. You know what I mean? My wiffle ball girlfriend.
You were a shower away from a girlfriend.
I was a shower away. Yeah. And I took, like, the longest shower, really cleaned up, got clothes that were pretty clean.
Pretty airbrushed.
Pretty airbrushed. Dig Dug high score shirt, you know, so she knows I'm a baller. And I went out there, and I noticed, like, boy, she's not out there anymore. And I'm like, boy, they must have went to go get ice cream because the car's gone and they're not there. And, she left. Family left. And I remember just like that day, the rest of the night, I just kept like walking by and just like, hey, I wonder if she's coming back. They're probably going to stay over. And she didn't come back that day. And then the next day, I'm like, you know, it's Sunday. Maybe they just went somewhere and she didn't come back. And then like probably 6 years later, I'm like, hope she comes back. And she never, ever came back. And I'm like, damn it, you're a grandchild and you live only in Connecticut. How could you not come back? And I'm like, I'm hoping today she's still thinking about, like, you know, wiffle ball Jeff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
so you effectively ran a girl out of
I don't know what it was.
Town forever.
But their other grandchildren, Andrew and Vicky Wright, two of the biggest boars on the planet. I remember, like, playing with Andrew. He's really preppy. And he was just like, you know, like, playing with, like, just a very, like, country club kid. And very straight-laced and stuff like that. I'm like, what a boar, Mr. Boersville. He went on
what
to be.
What are you saying, boar?
Boar.
Like B-O-E-R?
A boring person.
A boar.
Boar.
Okay.
He went on to be an executive producer and writer for TV show Friends. Huh. Isn't that amazing?
Heard of it.
Not familiar. So I was always like, I might want to look up this boring Andrew again. And check out with him. But no great summer romance stories, but I do plan on producing that TV show. Just need a good name, good idea.
Guido Girl, local guy.
Yeah, right.
Writes itself.
Wouldn't that be fun? What do we think about Guido Girls?
Why not?
Why not, right?
Right? They need loving.
Hey, sure.
How could you tell a girl is... I feel like with a guy, they have the weird tan and they have the crazy hair and the chain.
Yeah,
you know, and they're muscly and like bald-bodied.
Yeah, yeah.
The girl... I feel like the
can
girls could...
Can you fathom that? Bald-bodied?
But I feel like the girls could blend in more so. No?
No. Not the one
nowadays? Okay.
Can you imagine the pain he'd have to go through to be bald body?
Bald body time.
It would be like Wolverine having his skin ripped off. It would be like that. We'd have to chain you down.
Russ, I think it's time for shouts. Do we have any
sure.
Do we have some shout music?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't quite
ready.
Yes,
oh.
We do.
This is a good song, guys.
Hit, hit, hooray!
Guys, time for shouts. This is the part of the show where we all like to mention something that we're really into, something we really like, or just something we want people to know about.
I'm going to go last.
All right. Yeah, very nice. Because you weren't expecting it. Todd, what are we into? What are we enjoying lately?
Reggie Watts.
Oh, yeah. He's great, right?
Woo! You guys know about Reggie Watts?
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about him until 2 or 3 weeks ago, and because former guest and Philadelphia comedy legend, Doogie Horner.
Yes.
Opened for Reggie Watts. And so I saw that he was performing at the Troc, and I thought, okay, well, I'll go out in partial support of Doogie
sure.
and curiosity of who this Reggie Watts is. And it was an incredible show.
He's amazing.
And I challenge you, not even just recommend, I challenge you to call him up on the Google
yeah.
and watch any segment of him talking about anything. And his intellect and musical ability is... just so intimidating, so bewildering.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it. I mean, we watch a lot of comedy, and I watch a lot of music, and...
He marries
no matter how No matter how much you watch of those things, you think, okay, well, I can understand how someone is doing this. I'm not saying I could do it.
Right.
But when I watched Reggie Watts that night, I thought, I can't even begin to think of how this guy is coming up and doing the things that he's doing.
He's on TV now. TV show.
Well, he has a TV show coming out, I guess, right?
Comedy Bang Bang. He's well, one of the two guys. Yeah,
he is
great.
Something else.
I saw him live with the Conan O'Brien tour. He was amazing. Whew. He opened up for him, yeah.
Wow.
Wow, so a big shout out for Reggie Watts, huh?
I was very, very impressed.
Wow. Russ, what are you into?
Jeff, every few years, there's a new Rush album.
Oh!
Jeff, still?
There's a new Rush album right now. And, you know, I'll take my hits for that, but I know you are a Rush fan.
I'm a Rush
fan.
The
new album is awesome.
Is it? I gotta get it. It's on my list. And I do enjoy when there's a new Rush album because I have friends in the Twitter sphere and then the Facebook who are just, like, playing it in my office. Everyone hates me. Loving it. You know, it's that kind of...
They're consistent.
Yeah, they're great.
Where other people are not.
And that's it? Nothing else?
Nope. In fact, and if you want to hear what a dinosaur band like that not being consistent sounds like, check out the most recent Yes album.
No, I won't.
Seriously, you can't even imagine what it sounds like.
Who's singing?
Like, it just... Anderson? It sounds like a bunch of 70-year-olds falling down the stairs. Aww. It's like they're all...
But that's the title of the album, though, to be fair. Right?
No, Anderson's not even in the band anymore.
Who's singing?
Some guy,
Trevor Rabin?
No, some guy who was from a Yes cover band.
Oh no!
Who went?
Does everybody do that now?
The
Journey thing worked.
So when John Anderson got sick, he had like a throat thing. The rest of the guys just couldn't wait for him. They like forget it. They got him off of YouTube, and
I love that. I love when a band is just like, listen, we're not getting back together. I don't like the singer, like Steve Perry for Journey. He's like, no, I'm not doing it because listen, I have a. They're like, all right, see you, Steve. There's Filipino Steve Perry.
That's right.
You're up.
That's what happened here. But so. Yeah, and he's much younger again, like just like these other bands. He's
much
younger.
Older.
It's like getting called up from the minors.
Like, if you see a picture of that band right now, Steve Howe looks like something out of Lord of the Rings. Seriously. He really does. And they're just, they have to stop. It's so horrible. And, you know, Rush is not that many years behind them.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, they're just great. So
I'm going to run down shout-outs real quick. The Pixar documentary on TV, it's been running a lot. I don't think it's like an MSNBC. It's like an hour. Wow. Like, you think you know Pixar movies, and they just run down, like, their beginnings and, like, their first six movies, who was in charge, the creative team behind it, how they just kind of let them go, and then working with Disney. It's, like, awe-inspiring to the point where you're just like, I'm laying on a couch. I can't even imagine, like, doing what they do and the quality of work they put out. Have you seen it?
I have not.
It's great. It really is. Gives you a nice – you know, I like Pixar movies, and I'm very excited for Brave. Coming out in a couple days.
Yeah, why not?
That does look good, yeah.
John Carter. It stunk, right, everybody? Did really bad. I watched it. I liked it. Yeah, it wasn't so bad.
I don't even know what that is.
It's not a very low, it bankrupted.
A kinder,
it bankrupted Disney, but
Jeff Lyons.
The top guy at Disney got fired, this movie. Bob.
Is it animated?
No, it's one of the top, biggest busts, like Ishtar, Gates of Heaven type, you know, bust of all time. But I watched it, and it wasn't bad. So, John Carter. And also, Angry Nikki, Twitter, very funny woman. She sent me to cheer me up for some reason, a video of Megaforce flying a motorcycle with a young Barry Bostick. Just go to Google, type in Megaforce.
You said so many things that I don't even understand.
At first, I thought it was Angry Nikki.
Yeah.
It was Barry Bostwick.
Yeah. I'm a little bit. That's like two beers into it. It's just type in Google Megaforce Barry Bostick and enjoy this amazing video.
Okay.
That's good. And lastly, new Carl Hendricks Trio album coming out on July 17th. Comedy Minus One Records, our friend John Solomon's putting it out. It's fantastic.
Stand by him in that endeavor.
I love Carl Hendricks. So check that out.
Hey, can I say one more thing? And this is not a shout out so much, but I'm very proud of my first cousin. 1 year older than me, similar height, and some of the same genes.
Girl or boy?
Male.
Male.
Won a Tony.
Wow!
Yeah, won a
Tony.
Tony
Award, wow.
A Tony Award, yeah.
What's the name?
For choreography. For choreography of Newsies. Newsies is a Broadway show.
I've heard of it.
That he choreographed and won a Tony. Yeah.
What's his name?
His name is Christopher Gattelli. For a brief moment, it was Christopher Michaels. That was a stage name that he used, but... For the most part, Christopher Gattelli.
So he's back to being proud to be Italian?
He embraced it. Gattelli, my first cousin, and a Tony Award. Now, we have many Tonys in our family, as you might imagine. But, Jeff!
Only
too
one
many,
Tony
too
Award!
Too many for my liking.
Yep.
Let's get to the... We always have to... You probably do it a lot, but just Illuminati.
Okay.
Enlightened, right? Is that basically what it's right?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. And you're probably so sick and tired of just having...
I get asked about it once a day. When I get threats on Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, the other day, a woman asked me about it while she was taking blood and was very unhappy that it was my last name as if I chose it or I had something to do with it. And she's like wrapping the thing around me, and she's like, "You know it means Antichrist," and pulls, and like my arm starts going out. I'm like, "Yeah, I have nothing to do with that." And then you don't want people mad at you sticking needles in your
arm. No, 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 no.
So, but yeah, I get asked about it.
When did it start getting bad? Like, what age? When the whole.
You know, I went the good 15, 16 years of my life without anybody ever saying a word about it.
And then
I hit college, and I took a philosophy class, and my professor every day would take roll and go, "Illuminati, you know what that means, right?" And
yeah,
I'd go, "No." And then he'd see me after class, and I'd never show up for after class. But he'd do it every day until I eventually showed up after class. And then, like, you know, Angels and Demons,
yeah,
and Tomb Raider, and that it got a little bit worse. And every day, you know, I get threats because I'm with Jay-Z and Kanye.
Yep, I noticed
and,
that.
And I had part of Chris Brown had something to do with Rihanna. And it just every day on Twitter I get something.
Really?
I swear.
How are you getting tough?
I'll just save them. And
are
I'll
you
just make
a rap battle?
No, I'm not. I'm just going to make one big post of everybody saying things to me about. I get followed by Illuminati conspiracy theorists.
Good.
I had to change my number once because a person called me, my house number, and asked me if I had anything to do with it. It's really
You have the most
creepy.
Provocative last name of anybody I know.
Someone told me to change it the other day because they would never buy a book with a name like that written on it.
Your book's probably not for them.
Yeah, you're not. I said, sir, you are not the first person to not buy my book. So
yeah.
Don't worry about it. But that's how, I get it at least once a day.
All right, we'll never ask again.
No, it's fine.
No, we just had to know. And what do you want to shout out there, Chris?
I actually want to shout out. I was thinking about something what was I doing today? What was I on today? And I don't know if anybody read that Arsenio Hall is coming back. So I spent 2 hours today on YouTube watching old Arsenio Hall clips.
They hold up, right?
I won't say hold up, but go back and watch one. I don't remember the exact phrase, but there was a couple guys that showed up in his audience wanting to know why he doesn't have on more gay guests.
Yeah.
And they just started shouting during his monologue.
I remember that.
When he gets into like a 10-minute just verbal sparring match with these dudes in the back of the audience, like runs into the audience, starts screaming. Just look up Arsenio Hall. It was something like gay protest or something. They just want to know why he hadn't had gay people on. And it was the most fascinating 10 minutes of television because I'm not sure why.
Who are you rooting for? And like, if you just, I don't mean you in particular, but I mean, like, who seems like the good guy in that scenario?
I think Arsenio Hall comes off as the good guy because it's a TV show. Like, he didn't really pick and choose his guests. He even said, like, "I've had these five people on. They're gay. There's no one gay right now that's promoting anything. I'm not just going to have people on for the sake of it." But I'm watching this, and, like, I didn't check to see how long the clip was, and you get a minute into it, and you're like, "Security's going to stop this at any moment. Security's going to stop this at any moment. All right, now they're going to stop it. All right, now they're going to stop it." And, like, 10 minutes into it, there's these people just screaming, and he's screaming back at them. It's really fascinating.
I think that's
something
that
like
that
today.
Security was gay.
Maybe. If something like that today would be, like, front page. It might have even been a stunt, but something like that today would be huge news. I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
And, like, I used to watch the show a lot, and I, you know.
Where did he go for the past 15 years, right? Just completely.
He was just waiting on The Celebrity Apprentice. He was just waiting.
Oh, was he on that? Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but he's coming back now, so I would recommend going to YouTube and looking up his old clips. They don't necessarily stand up, but you'll go back and see something. Like, on that same episode with the guys protesting, his guests were Paul Hogan and Poison. So stick around for that.
Yeah.
If I had Paul Hogan on, I would just, like, whip out it like a little knife just to make him say it, right? Just so he'd have to
just
say it.
Set him up.
He was the next guest afterward. Yeah. Like, he had no idea what to
it's
say.
Like, Paul, I'm calling this a knife.
Yeah. This is a knife.
This is what I call a knife.
Couldn't pass me anything. He's like, all right, well. Well, you know what? I'd like to give a shout. You know what shout I would do? I would say go to ChrisIlluminati.com.
You could, yeah.
Right? How wouldn't you do
again,
that?
I don't. There's that line of promoting.
No, that's why we're here. We want to have you on. You're a very talented writer. You're very fun. Twitter,
@ Chris Illuminati.
Very easy to remember.
Yeah.
ChrisIlluminati.com. Another website like ToddMarone.com.
Oh, shucks.
That's
Jeff,
a great
thanks.
One. I also like, Chris Stark, just as a human.
Thank you.
Not even in cyberspace.
The girl from Columbia.com.
There you go.
Well, Russ tweeted
really
the other day again. He tweeted like 2 or 3 days ago. When I see a Russ Stark tweet, I feel so excited. It's like seeing a little person or a shooting star.
Oh, I remember.
You know, it's like, whoa!
That tweet
look what
has been
I
crafted,
saw.
Handcrafted.
Do you remember what, I remember exactly what it said.
Is that a Russ? Is that
I remember exactly what
I remember
said.
Liking
Let
it.
Me
you
it
remind me.
It was simply, Patricio, where are you? Ladies and gentlemen, that's Newsweek's Radio, Podcast 97. Thank you very much for coming out. We're going to end it with... What do we got?
Garfunkel and Oates.
Garfunkel and Oates.
Thank you, everybody.
I love you always, forever, near and far, close and together, everywhere. I will be with you, everything I will do for you. I will love you always, forever, near and far, close and together, everywhere. I will be with you, everything I will do for you. Do 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 do. I don't wanna wait for our lives to be over. I wanna know right now what it would be. I don't wanna wait for our lives to be over. Will it be us or will it be? Sorry, step back, you're dancing kinda close. I feel a little poke coming through on you. Girl, I know you felt it. Ooh, you know I can't help it. You know what I wanna do, so kiss me. Beneath the milky twilight, lead me out on the moonlit floor. Lift your open hand, strike up the band and make the fireflies dance, silver moon sparkling. So kiss me, tick tock, get up, stop to the tick tock, get up, stop to the tick tock, get up, stop to the tick tock, get up, stop.
Wake up. Ooh, I wanna sex you up.
Ooh, I wanna sex you up. Come on, Barbie, let's go party. And I said, what about breakfast at Tiffany's? She said, I think I remember the film, and as I recall, I think we both kinda liked it. I said, well, that's the one thing we've got. Na na. Get enough. If it hadn't been for Pat and Aunt Joe, I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Pat and Aunt Joe? Rush, rush.
Hurry, hurry, lover, come to me.
Rush, rush.
I wanna see you get free with me.
Rush, rush.
I can feel it, I can feel you all through me.
Rush, rush.
What you do to me
on that morning when this life is over? Always, forever, near and far, close and together, everywhere. I will be with you, everything I will do for the best soy latte that you ever had. And me.